Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Coogan Kessis for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast, with the final press conference ahead of Chris Eubank's pay-per-view clash with Liam Smith this Saturday at the AO Arena, live on Sky Sports box office. I'm joined by promoter Ben Shalom. I don't even know where to start. Literally, it started off quite in jest and kind of the typical back and forth between Smith and Eubank. It got kind of ridiculously personal between the pair of them.
It's tense. It's 2 days out. I think, look, there's been a lot that each of them have had to deal with back and forth. I think Eubank 50%, 60% to a former world champion throughout the promotion has made it a bit more personal. But I think they're just chalk and cheese. And ultimately, it's 2 days away from a fight. I think they say things that they don't mean. But neither of them wants to lose on Saturday night, and that's what it comes down to.
I mean, the back and forth between them over the last sort of 6 weeks since the original press conference has been not predictable, but we can kind of expect, we know how Chris is and we know kind of the responses we'd get from Liam Smith, but today kind of took it to a different level with, first of all, from Liam Smith with some of his comments questioning sexual orientations, etc. I mean What were you thinking when that was going through your head when you were sat there in between them?
Look, I think all Liam was questioning was no one knows anything about you, man. I don't think he actually meant to go in that direction. It was what it was, and it sort of escalated, and there's egos involved, and it's tense. But to be honest, I think both of them just want to get in the ring, and both of them are 100% confident. And I think, it went a bit over the top at times, but look, it's chalk and cheese, isn't it? It's like what Callis said, it's the flamboyant southerner, the superstar, against a working class hero that's done it the hard way and is a former world champion and has all the T-shirts in the wardrobe, as Andy said. So it's always going to be a clash of personalities, but it won't be a clash of styles. It's going to be an all-out war on Saturday night, and I can't wait.
As I pointed out to Chris Eubank Jr., the talking has been done. We know they've got a weigh-in, obviously, tomorrow, which is kind of the last time, they'll come face-to-face. But all the talking aside, we are in for a great fight this week. It was after the whole situation with Conor Benn, which was a completely different issue altogether, but the fallout from that, I think that the positive is that obviously we're waiting to see what Conor Benn's situation is, but in regards to Chris Eubank Jr., we're seeing him with someone that a fight that has been called and talked about for the last 3 years, two or three years.
Yeah, and it was the one that Liam wanted, so I think it's a better fight. I think it's a tougher fight for Eubank Jr. I think the reason there's so much interest in this fight is because Eubank's levels have always been questioned. And he's always been very high profile, but he's never won a world title. Has he ever beat a world-level opponent? I think this would be the biggest name on his resume. When he fought De Gale, that was a retirement fight. That was the last fight for James De Gale before he retired. And this is a big moment for Chris Eubank Jr. I think everyone's talked a lot, and we look at the big fights that could be made after this. But ultimately, this is a massive test, and he knows that. He knows that Liam Smith knows his way around the ring, has done things that he hasn't, has fought Canelo, has been sparring Callum Smith throughout his career. Liam Smith knows exactly what to expect on Saturday night. I think that's what makes it so special. I think if it wasn't for the Ben Eubank situation, we might not have ever seen it. And I think the fans are glad that we are.
Yeah, that's a good point you make, actually, because if the Ben Eubank fight had materialised, I think either or if Chris had won or lost that fight, we may have not seen this situation where he's fighting Liam Smith. I think you're right in what you're saying.
Yeah, and that fight completely was left field to me. I did not expect that to happen. I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think the weights were possible. For me, the fight was always Liam Smith. That's why we signed him. We thought it was a fight that made sense. And once that didn't happen, it was the obvious one. And it was one that couldn't be avoided. And I think, as I say, I think the fans are glad that they get to see this fight. And I really think it's a marking time fight for Eubank. It's a time for him to prove that he is world level. And it's a time for Liam Smith to prove that he's a level above Chris Eubank Jr. That's why he wants the fight. That's why he always wanted the fight. And I really think, I don't like saying it because we're trying to encourage now fighters to be able to win and lose and come back. But I think at this stage in their career, 33 years old and 34 years old, it's a must win to stay at this level.
I mean, if you ask both fighters about, again, who's got more to lose, I think it's very much in the balance there because they are at similar ages. And obviously, Liam Smith is a former world champion. He's been in with Canelo, etc. So there's aspects of Liam Smith's resume that Chris would like on his. Chris would have loved to have been in the ring at some point with Canelo. He would have loved to have had a world title at some point. I know he won the IBO, but you know what I mean. But I think this is quite evenly matched at this stage of their career.
Yeah, I think I'd say Chris probably has a little more to lose if we're objective about it, just because he still has those ambitions. He still wants to become a world champion. He still wants those big fights, whether Golovkin or Canelo. I think he has a lot to lose. I think Liam will be quite comfortable with what he's achieved in his career. I think this is not one he wants to lose because of pride, because of what he's done. And he wants some big fights. He's already talking to me about May, June and what September looks like because he sees what happens if he wins this fight on Saturday night. I think, yes, both got a lot to lose, but I think for Eubank, this is possibly one of the biggest fights, if not the biggest fight of his career, because of what happens if he loses it.
Is it a potential retirement fight if one of these fighters lose? Is that hard to say at this stage?
I don't know. You'd have to speak to them. They both feel good. All I know with Liam is he's been one of the most active fighters in the country. He's had a lot more rounds in the past couple of years than Eubank. Eubank's last fight was Liam Williams last February. That's 12 months ago now. Maybe that will play its part, but Liam feels very good and he's happy at the moment and he wants to go and he's very confident. I can't see necessarily either of them retiring, but I think at this level it's a must win.
You're obviously promoting your first show of 2023. Obviously 2023 was almost a bit of a learning curve for you in terms of promotional. You had a great start this time last year almost in February where you put out them three shows in the space of 4 weeks with Calm Brook and Williams Eubank and Taylor Cattrall. And then obviously, as expected, things kind of tapered down and you kind of filled out the rest of the year. But yeah, a good learning year for you?
Yeah, massive. Obviously, it's hard. Building a stable and putting on big shows at the same time is I don't think anyone else has had to do that. We finished strong. We had the first women's night that's ever been done, and to sell out the O2, that was a highlight. Billim Smith in Bournemouth was a highlight. Richard Riatpour and seeing Adam Azim and Caroline Dubois and Fraser Clark and Ben Whittaker all come through. It was about building our foundation, building our stable, and I think this year is going to be special for us because we can fill cards. When we did Calm Brook last year, it was tough. You know, we were sort of people just signed for us. You can't throw them in their title fight in the first fight. You can't throw them into something they don't want to do, and you have to build. But we can put on cards like this now, and that's so exciting as a promoter. And I'm really looking forward to this year. It's a first night of a massive night, first of many. I think this year we're going to start very strong. But yeah, I think last year was special. It really was for me. It was special for the team. It was special because to be operating at that level and putting on those shows off the bat was crazy. But this year, this is nice because we know what's happening in May, June. We have the luxury of planning. We have the fighters. We feel like we've got the future superstars in British boxing, and it's going to be a big year for us and hopefully boxing as well.
And for those who thought that you'd only been in the game for 12 months, well, you're still here, just about.
still here, still ready. But hopefully, and I've said it before, it becomes less about the promoters. I think the more everyone keeps doing this, it actually hurts
doing
us.
What?
Look in the US right now. I think it's a mess. They won't talk to each other and they can't make fights. We wouldn't. Essamon Congo is probably the fight of the card. If we didn't have a good relationship with Queensbury, it wouldn't be made. So I think less, and you do it all the time, but less needs to be made.
What do I do exactly?
Less needs to be made of top promoter, who's the best promoter, who's the this, who's the that. It's not. It's actually,
we're catering to your egos though as well.
Yeah, you are, and I can see where that goes. But I genuinely believe it's a bit of fun, but then it actually becomes counterproductive, and it actually does stop fights, and it actually does stop the sport. And we've seen with the celebrity boxing and things like that, the sport needs to get its act together. And I think the main thing is the promoters working together.
So you're talking about, actually, can we just wrap in Callis Howland here as he's standing over there? This will be quite interesting. It's not a face to face, mate, but just jump in.
He's exhausted.
Jump in.
Well done, son.
Hey, sir.
It's interesting. Right,
can we just stand there? Don't move. From
are we on an interview? Or are we doing an interview?
Oh, we are.
The middle of the job, and you called me in.
No.
He was just about to talk about Misfits before you come in.
I wasn't. I was talking about how the sport you see in the US, and no one works together. Look, in fairness, Cal has always worked with everyone, but in the US, the fact that they don't work together is why it's a bit of a shambles at the moment.
Absolutely. It's if you look at this fight, it's possible only because promoters work together. But then again, if you look at all the great fights in the last 2-3 years, none of them really have fallen under the banner of one promoter. You know, they might hide the logos and things like that, but we all know that there's multiple, let's look at, Joshua Usyk, Fury Usyk, things like this. The amount of different parties involved in that, and... Yeah, but that's the great fights. It takes people working together to get them done.
So you speak about, obviously, a fight with S.O. Eckermann and Chris Congo that you made, obviously, via kind of Frank Warren as well.
Yeah.
But how many fights have you done with Matchroom on that Matchroom basis? Yeah.
I think the Baumgartner Mayer was a fight with Matchroom. Look, we would... I think certain promoters want to work with other promoters more than others. And we'd love to, and if the fight's there to be made, we'll always try and make it. If it's the best fight for our fighters and for the fans, we'll always do it. I know Frank Smith's coming on Saturday night. He comes to a lot of our shows. There's no problem there. And it's a bit of a loaded question. That. What?
You got my ticket?
I think he's coming with you.
It's not a loaded question at all, but would you like to be making...
You've got a ticket for him.
I think he's on your list.
No, he's on your list. No, have you got a ticket for him?
I think he's on your list.
Okay, we'll double check that in a minute, because I thought he was on your list.
No, I think he's on your list.
Over the years, you've made many a fights with Eddie Hearn, if we're allowed to mention Eddie Hearn's name in this interview. You've made loads of fights with him, but is that something moving forward that must be a priority to try and get, like you said, the best fights possible for your fighters, for your stable, and for the fans as well?
Genuinely, we would have no problem with that. As you said, if the fights are there to be made, we would. I have a good relationship, I think, with Frank. I do speak to him, and as I say, he comes to a lot of shows. And the Baumgartner is a Matchroom fight, and that was one of our biggest shows last year. I think it will happen more and more. I think it has to happen more and more. I think in the US, as I say, I do think there's a bit of a problem in the US. I think in Britain, on the whole, the big fights do get made.
Yeah.
I think on the whole.
Yeah. I think in the end, what we were saying is that this fight, this wonderful fight on Saturday night, it's a fans' fight. It's one that the fans have. Once the fans put enough pressure on, the promoters do work together. You know, it's as simple as that, isn't it? It's, I don't think there's a promoter under the sun that I haven't worked with.
You seem to get on with everyone, though. Obviously, he's still learning. He's been in it 12 months. But
you get
on with the majority of the promoters. Yeah. I don't hear promoters bad-mouthing you.
Very kind of you, Coogan. Yeah. Thank you very much. Do I get a Nobel Peace Prize for that, the boxing? Would you like to give that to me, Ben?
No, I think he's about to present you with something.
Give me some compliments. How good am I to work with? Go on.
Listen, I will say, Callum, is that celebrity boxing that you do, I think you need to make sure and make clear it is celebrity boxing.
All I'm doing with that is to show you it is possible to sell out an arena with all the people in there at 7 p.m, right? And I know tomorrow night's sold out. I gave you the A side for that, so well done. But that's what we got to bring into what is to somehow get the fans in there at 7 o'clock. When I arrived at the venue last week, we had, it wasn't just sold out, it was full. And you know, I saw like Lyndon Arf put out a tweet like, imagine boxing fans treat us like that. Like, you know, I get you want to have a pint before you. You go there, but have that at 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, and turn up for the first fight, because they've all gone through crazy training camps. The card, by the way, I mean, you know, you guys have got, for me, one of the best matchmakers in the world in John Wischhusen. This card tomorrow night is rocking from top to bottom. Yeah. If you buy a ticket, and boxing tickets aren't cheap, we know that. I thought they were very fairly priced for Manchester, but you paid for it. Why don't you turn up and watch it? You know, have a pint in the venue, you know. The pints taste good there as well. Have the pints earlier, get on it earlier, and get down there and watch the scraps. It's what you're paid for, you know. Imagine this fight goes around. And it could, if the pan is sizzling early, Smith could go early. And then you've come turn up for 3 minutes, you know. We've got to watch the whole card. There's fantastic names on that card. Great, great show. Turn up early. That's what the atmosphere, that's all I'm saying, is that I would love to bring that over from crossover boxing. I don't know why they turn up so early, but they do. They don't leave their seats.
Up, they turn up for anything. It doesn't matter whether they're doing table tennis, swimming.
It's just they don't turn up early for everything.
They sell out stadiums playing football as well, but you don't have the football media covering it.
It's completely different. That's a game that lasts for 90 minutes and people are there from the first minute.
No, but what I'm saying is they're there because they have fans. They're not there to watch boxing. They're there to watch their YouTube stars or their YouTube heroes, whether it's boxing, whether it's gymnastics.
We've got not just YouTubers, we've got rappers, we've got OnlyFans girls on there, we've got politicians are going to be on there soon, we've got footballers coming, we've got wrestlers, MMA guys, gamers, which are different to YouTubers. I found that out. My lingo is getting good in this area, by the way. So, you know, when you say YouTuber, you're generalising. You know,
we got celebrity boxing.
It's not celebrity boxing. No, it's absolutely not. Now, that takes me back.
Influencer boxing?
Crossover boxing. We had Greg Hardy's American football player, fight Hazim Rahman Jr. as a pro, you know? You're going to see some pros crossing over.
Let me ask you a question. Have you got reservations about this type of boxing?
No, I'll be honest, I don't mind it, and it's fine what they're doing. I just think it shouldn't be advertised as boxing. I think that can be confusing. And when media, boxing traditional, when are we going to see it in boxing news? I think that's dangerous for the sport.
So what should it be advertised as?
I think it should be clear that it's influencer celebrity boxing, white collar boxing. And I think sometimes it's not too clear. I'm not saying it's just because of him. I've seen isn't the organisation called the commissioning body called Professional Boxing?
Yeah,
that's just misleading in my opinion. I just think it's great, it's entertainment, it's WWE, whatever it is, but don't make sure it's not boxing, because it's not boxing, and I think that's the only danger with it.
I will say one thing, it's not WWE, is it? We know WWE isn't a real thing. Sorry to break it to people at home, but these people are actually going in there. They're actually having camps. They're actually training and actually having fights.
Did you see the Earl Brook fight last weekend?
I watched it. I was there.
Female fight. It's a proper tear up, yeah. Trained by Mark Tibbs, you know, one of the best trainers in the UK. That was a fantastic, fantastic minute. It lasted a minute, but it was a good old tear up. There are fights on there, by the way. Dean the Great versus Waleed Sharks. You know, people probably think, who they're, you know, if you're a traditionalist, go look them up. Waleed Sharks is a two-time Golden Glove winner. Probably one of the best fights on the Misfits so far, but that would fit into any pro card. Absolutely, it was an absolute banger of a fight. Rahman Jr. versus Hardy was a sort of pro fight as well. So it's a lot of different things going on there, but I agree. There is a very clear separation in what we do traditionally and what we do in the crossover stuff.
Well, this is how interested Ben Shalom was in your speech. Then he was WhatsApping someone as we were
working out tickets.
who's giving Frank Smith his ticket? That's what I was waiting.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
It's on him. Shout out Frank Smith. Right. Final predictions for this weekend. Obviously, we've got the weigh-in tomorrow, but Saturday night sold out a arena. Final predictions from you first, Ben, before we finish.
Look, I can't call it, if I'm honest. I've always leaned towards a Smith points win, but I think boxing wins on Saturday night. I really believe that. I can't wait for the fight. Credit to both fighters for doing it. It's a high risk fight. There's a lot on the line. Credit to Calla for putting Chris Eubank Jr. in with a former world champion in the form, I believe, of his life. That's been more active and that feels like this fight's ready made for him. But yeah, whatever happens, it's going to be an unbelievable fight.
I think I think we're going to get 3-4 rounds of an absolute throwback tear-up. And then I think the pan's going to get too hot from the atmosphere. It'll all start to sizzle. And Eubank's going to put on the absolute speed fireworks in the 5th, 6th round onwards. And I think we'll see stoppage around the 9th round.
Okay, still texting Frank Smith, yeah, Ben?
Lovely to interview,
He doesn't stop working, though. Fair play to him. He's only been in it 5 minutes, remember?
I don't know what works. Listen, my longest interview, this one.
Great, listen. Talking's done. Weighing tomorrow. Open to the public?
Open to the public, yeah. Yeah, get down. What time is it, Calle?
It is 1 o'clock tomorrow. 1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 o'clock. Open to the public. Massive atmosphere tomorrow.
Okay, Calle, Ben,
by the way,
thank you very much.
Manchester is a fantastic city to promote in. Watch, this will be a historical weekend.
We'll look forward to it. Ben, Calle, thank you very much. Best of luck to both you guys. Well, your fighters anyway. Thank you. Sports Social Podcast Network.